Your proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
So next Tuesday, the budget address here in Pennsylvania, and look, at the end of the day, so much needs to be done in this state. So much needs to be done across the country. I mean, I looked at last night's State of the Union address, and you know, there almost nothing in there I think is going to move us in the right direction. So as I look ahead to next Tuesday, with a very divided government here in Pennsylvania, I don't know that I have a lot of hope for the future, but here to talk about what could be in the budget address, what we need to be doing, and what we would like to see in the address. I've asked Mark Steer to come talk with us. He's the director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick. How are you doing?
So what are we hoping for? Next Tuesday, obviously, the big speech. What are we hoping the governor comes out with?
Well, can I tell you what my ideal would be?
Hit it.
And then we'll talk about what the reality might be. My ideal is that we have a governor who's a real pragmatic problem-solving person like Tom Wolf. In that way, he's not that much different from Ed Rendell or from Tom Ridge or Bob Casey or Dick Thornburgh. I imagine in my ideal him looking out at a General Assembly filled with Democrats and Republicans who, whatever their differences, are united in trying to solve Pennsylvania's problems. To that audience, I think a Governor Wolf would propose a bold plan. In a number of areas, he proposed something like the Pennsylvania Promise Plan to make college education far more affordable, which our organization came out with in the last 2 weeks, a commitment to reducing inequality in our school funding, new funding for treatment of opioid abuse, an increase in the minimum wage, and a plan to balance Pennsylvania's budget with revenues falling on the richest Pennsylvanians. And he get Republicans and Democrats disagreeing about some things, but basically saying, hey, that's the direction we need to go in because those are the problems we all recognize. They fight a little bit about who would pay the taxes and how much spending there would be. They'd come to some agreement.
You would hope.
You would hope.
Right. I mean, you know, the sad reality is I look at the Republicans seeing this as an election year, seeing this as an opportunity to put a black eye on this governor. While I would love to see all this stuff happen, how realistic?
The problem is, when the governor looks out at the audience, what he'll see is many Republicans, including the leadership of the House, are not problem solvers but ideologues. There are a lot of Republicans who are still problem solvers,
but
he's facing a Pennsylvania House of Representatives led by right-wing extremists who would not raise taxes to solve cancer, let alone to balance the budget. Who are not interested in spending more money on education or higher education, who instead want to cut back on the services we already provide to people who need Medicaid and other important human services. In the face of that kind of audience, I expect Governor Wolf is going to be pragmatic and going to, you know, push the envelope a little bit on the minimum wage and funding for opioid abuse. But I don't think he's going to be that bold this week because I think he understands that with this kind of divided government, there's just not much he's going to be able to do. He's going to be spending a lot of time stopping the bad stuff the Republicans are going to propose.
Right. And also, you just don't have the revenue for it. I mean, you know, while I would love the idea that you guys have come out with on you know, taxing capital gains and going after the 1% of the 1%, you know, as you've pointed out, you've got a Republican Party in this state, ideologically and pledge-driven to never raise taxes, even if they're on fire, and raising taxes would be the only way to put it out.
That's right. And in some ways, the budget is on fire. We know the last couple of years, we've balanced the budget with borrowing and one-shot revenues. We're hearing the governor's going to propose a no-taxes budget. I think he's going to find a way to get us through this year without the need for a lot of financial finagling and certainly without a need for taxes. But what that means is we're leaving all the big problems unresolved. And that means they're going to have to be resolved by the people of Pennsylvania in next November. They're going to have to decide what kind of government do that we want. Do we want a pragmatic, problem-solving government, or do we want a government run by right-wing ideologues? And I think that's the choice facing Pennsylvanians right now. And, you know, the governor can't make that happen one way or the other. The House Republicans can't make that choice. It's ultimately going to be up to the people, because we have a starkly divided government, as I think we've seen in Pennsylvania since the Civil War.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, we've always had something of a divided government, but has it been this bad? I mean, it just seems that you can get nothing done anymore. I mean, and I don't know if it's that, you know, we've already divided up in camps and we're never allowed to talk to each other, or if it's, you know, honestly and truthfully, the wealthy own our system and it's never going to work for us. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how did we get here?
Well, I think there's a couple of answers to that question. One is gerrymandering, which has made defeating a lot of incumbents impossible, which means that the Republicans, particularly in the House where they have very small districts, are much more afraid of being primaried by people even more extreme than they are, than they are afraid of losing a general election. I think it's the ideological tenor of the Republican Party, which is driven largely by the funders, by the very richest people who contribute most of the money that they run on. And it's by a self-fulfilling prophecy among them. They think they can radically change the world. If they ever had a chance to do that, I think they'd find out that the voters would say no and get out of here, because voters do not want radical cutbacks in education and even more tax cuts for the very wealthy. In fact, when we had a governor who tried to do that, Tom Corbett, he was the only governor ever in this state who was defeated for re-election.
No.
And so we know that people don't want that, but what people haven't said is they want to go back to the old days when Democrats and Republicans could more or less come together and actually govern the state and solve the problems that we have.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of me that goes, I don't know how you get back to the point to where things get done. I don't know if, you know, I look at, like, someone told me that C-SPAN was the beginning of all of it. When everything became hyper-transparent, that's when people, you know, had to always play for the camera and always had to play to the base where they could never get anything done. I don't know, but at some point, if it's going back to getting them drinking or whatever, maybe we need to be moving down those roads.
Well, no, every once in a while, they can find something they agree on, like medical marijuana, where, the common sense of that was so great that even in this case, Speaker Terzies is the right-wing extremist who runs the House, opposed it, but his members said, no, forget it. You know, we're not following you down this road because people are suffering and medical marijuana will relieve suffering. Every once in a while, you can get something like that happening. You know, the governor's had some victories in getting some more funding for education, for medical marijuana, for a pension bill that no one really liked, but at least there was a compromise on it. But a lot of the really big issues, the things that are standing in the way of this state moving forward, like really investing in education and higher education and dealing with our long-term budget problems, they're just almost impossible right now.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing for all of us.
I'm with you. But you said ultimately it's going to be up to the voters come November. And as you pointed, as you've pointed out and others have said, Pennsylvania is one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. And I look at today, you had the Senate President pro tempore, Joseph Scarnati, informing the state Supreme Court they're not redrawing the maps.
Well, if they're not going to redraw the map, then the Supreme Court is going to redraw the map. You know, they're really hoping that they can get away with the Supreme Court of the United States overturning that decision. And I, you know, that's possible. We have a highly political court in the United States, and they might stay that Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision. I'm not a lawyer, but I did used to teach constitutional law, and it strikes me that making that decision would be, you know, a pretty radical one for the United States Supreme Court. But, you know, they might do it.
Well, I mean, if you look at what happened in North Carolina, isn't it kind of almost similar?
No, in fact, it's actually very different because the decision that called for changing the congressional districts in North Carolina was a decision made in federal court. And it's quite common for federal court decisions to be appealed up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that given that they're going to decide a gerrymandering case or two, actually, under the United States Constitution, then that decision of the lower court in North Carolina should be stayed. The Pennsylvania decision is based on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court Constitution, rather, which means that the final arbiter about what's constitutional or not, according to the Pennsylvania Constitution, is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
That's right.
It's very, very rare for the United States Supreme Court to interfere with a state's highest court analysis of what its own constitution requires.
It would
really be a very unusual step for the court to intervene.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, you had John Roberts who said I'm going to be the guy who calls balls and strikes, and yet they've undone decades of decided law. And you look at Citizens United, you look at some of that stuff. You look at what's coming up with this Janus case, potentially overturning decades of decided law. Nothing surprises me. Nothing would surprise me when it comes to this court.
I agree. Nothing would surprise me. But you know, I read the brief of the people who are appealing the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision, and it's almost self-refuting. I mean, the argument is really bogus. I'm not going to bore everyone with all the details. And it would really be an extraordinary break with the whole federal structure where the states have, states' rights and states their own constitutions, their ability to make their own laws under those constitutions. It would be such an extraordinary thing that I'm not saying it can't happen, but it would be a very sad thing. And it would be incredibly hypocritical. Republicans, for years and years and years, have said they favor state rights.
Yep.
And now they're asking the United States Supreme Court to overturn a decision by the highest court in Pennsylvania based on the Pennsylvania Constitution. What happened to states' rights?
Yeah, that's convenient when it works for us, Mark, not for you. You know how that is. So let me last line of questioning I've got, because I'm hoping you're right. I hope the governor comes with a very pragmatic view. It is an election year, and I'm hoping that the budget gets passed and we get all the things that we need to get done. Do you think we're going to see another protracted budget battle? Do you see this as you look into the future? Do you see this kind of just going through and then the big fight being the year after?
That's what most people are saying that I'm talking to, that there really is an inclination to fight about the budget, that people want to get onto the election. They understand that neither side can really accomplish what it wants. The Republicans are going to pass a lot of bad legislation, to my mind. The governor's going to veto it. The vetoes are not going to be overridden. I think both sides understand governing is almost impossible. It's time to ask the voters to decide which direction for the state.
That's
so, I think that's what will happen. But who knows?
Again,
this is
a weird
state sometimes.
That's why November is so important. I hope everyone's registered. I hope everyone has it marked on their calendar. Wrap a string around the finger to remember. Election Day this November is that important, not just on the federal level, but also on the state and local level. Mark, I appreciate the time filling us in on the details and give us some thoughts. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Rick. Anytime.
Always a good talking to you. Mark Steer, Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. You want to check out their website. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard. Remember all their faces, remember all their voices. Everything is different the second time around.